Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another week here on the Miller and Condon Show. Glad you're with us. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO, and we'll be for the next couple of hours as we talk sports with you. A busy Monday recapping the weekend. Spent a lot of time, clearly, on the story of the weekend, whether it's a positive or a negative for you, and I was struck by how many people are in the negative camp. We'll get into that a little bit on what unfolded at Augusta yesterday afternoon. But in the first hour, we only have one guest, and he was scheduled last week. And if we want to get a national writer to cover that covers the NBA, we do and we can. And Sean Devaney from sportingnews.com, he's covered the league for a long, long time. We will take a look back at the first couple of days and look ahead to the playoffs as they are underway in the NBA. We'll do that in the first hour of the program. That's about the bottom of the hour. He will slide on in here. Matt Rudy, before he gets on his airplane to leave, well, I would think, you know, I don't know. A lot of people fly into South Carolina.
Okay.
And, well, whoever.
Columbia?
The Columbia, South Carolina. Uh-huh. That's where a lot of the media flies into. Apparently, that for the guys that have been going to the Masters for a long time covering, that's a, they call it a veteran move.
Mm.
Stay away from Atlanta, which if you can, I highly recommend. Although it's been a while since I've been through there, but seemingly every time. That in St. Louis. Never had good at luck with those two airports. Anyways, we'll talk to Matt Rudy before he gets on his plane. He spent the weekend in Augusta. Anxious to hear as many events as he has covered in his long career, whether it be a majors or a Ryder Cups in the game of golf, where this one fits, because I've seen a lot of golf writers that this one's right up on their right at the top of their list of events that they have covered, just for the sheer storylines. And that's what we love, right? We love stories. So give me a story any day of the week.
And we got one.
And we got one. We got a major one.
Absolutely incredible. The comeback, 11 years without a major. And we've seen, during this 11-year stretch, we've seen Tiger Woods play good stretches of golf.
Well, more so last year.
Last year,
when he
absolutely
finally broke through, and he was second in the U.S. Open last year.
2013, he was player of the year. He won five events.
Right, right. That's
none
true.
None of them were majors.
That's true.
But
yep,
he won five events.
And then fell to the 1199th ranked golfer in the world after his back surgeries.
Might need to still reconfigure that. I understand it's what you actually do on a professional golf course.
But what you're saying, Trent, is find me, I don't think you can find me 1,198 players that are better than Tiger Woods. Is
no,
that what you're
that,
saying?
That wouldn't go that route. So I was listening to an interview this morning with Noah Begay.
His former roommate, right?
Yep, Stanford. Roommate, golf.
Where'd you hear that?
ESPN Radio.
Okay.
And it was just so interesting hearing this guy that has known him since college.
Mm-hmm.
They were college teammates. They were friends. They've been friends forever.
And like you say, roommates.
He's the one that gave him the nickname Urkel.
Really?
When they were at Stanford. Yeah, okay. He called him Urkel.
Yeah. Because
he's wearing those big Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah.
But not just what this one was, but going back to after that spinal fusion surgery and four back surgeries in general. And I personally have never dealt with big back issues. Sore back every once in a while. Kind of throw your back out. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Never anything like this. But people that I've talked to that have dealt with it, I think it's maybe even more amazing to them, understanding.
Yeah, it's a good point,
to
right?
come back. Mm-hmm. This isn't a torn ACL.
People that have lived with back problems.
Yes.
Right.
How debilitating it can mm-hmm. be. And to come back at this level, four surgeries, spinal fusion surgery, which, I mean, it's a last-ditch effort.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't go right, and go really bad.
Well, two years ago, he was at the Champions Dinner, and he didn't think he was ever going to play again.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be able to walk again and be able to get up and have a normal day again and not hurt. So much goes into it, Trent. I mean, the humility, he was humiliated is what he was. Look, he brought it on himself. I get that.
Yes.
But if anybody out there thinks that this is the only person that's ever cheated on their spouse, please,
right,
look around your office, and I'll guarantee you, third,
well,
men and women.
Marriage in general is a 50-50 proposition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I was struck by, and I really mean this, and I'm not trying to change anybody's opinion on this. This is your opinion. If you don't like Tiger, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. If you don't like what he did, that's your opinion. But it did strike me as, wow, there's some people out there that will never, ever get over the fact that, you know, he ran around on his wife.
Yes.
I get the DUI. I mean, I don't get it. I get the fact that you're pissed off that he got behind his wheel. of his vehicle and was completely out of his mind, hooked on painkillers. Had no idea where he was when he was pulled over. I mean, the mugshot of him, you know, being cuffed in front of the police car, I think it was Orlando, it was clearly Florida. Mm-hmm. To have that splashed on the national papers, to have the picture of the headshot of the, was it 12 or 10 women that he allegedly, not allegedly, admitted to it, had affairs with on the front pages of newspapers. I get it. If you walk in that kind of air, if you breathe that kind of air, you're going to be looked at differently. When you have a fall from grace, unfortunately for you, your fall is going to be a public fall from grace.
There's one angle to this that, I don't know, maybe I'm confused by. And as people throwing out terms like unbelievable, shocking, things like that.
Did he won, you mean?
Right. We saw him just a year ago, right there.
He finished, well, he won a tournament last year.
He had the lead at the Open Championship.
Yeah, after nine, I think it was after, maybe on the final nine, he was in front, right.
He was getting close.
He won
the Tour Championship.
He was starting to be Tiger Woods again.
Yes, so that whole line of thinking was a little bit different for me, because, mm-hmm. yeah, I was envisioning this.
Did you cry? I did.
I did.
Yeah, so did I.
The moment when he hugs his son.
Uh-huh.
I just found out on Friday that I'm having a son.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I lost it.
Yeah, I lost it.
I'm sitting in the basement and Ellen comes down. What's wrong, Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
This guy won a golf tournament. Can I explain that to a toddler?
Yeah, you don't.
No.
You don't. No, you just can't.
What's wrong, Daddy?
It's funny. No, I cried. And you and I, Trent, here's the thing. We're not alone. It was emotional. I think it was. It clearly was. Look, I told you, I cry at commercials now, for God's sakes. And you will more so as you get older. I don't know what it is in men as we age. Yeah, maybe it's the same as women, but I'm not one, so I can't speak for it.
Well, you're losing testosterone.
Maybe that's it.
New Leaf Wellness can help you with that.
Can they? I'll pass for now,
but
thank you for the tip anyways. Yes. Look, it was a perfect storm. We saw guys in Molinari, clearly. Finau, both of those guys, the magnitude that was thrust upon them. The fact, here's one thing, and I'm anxious to talk to Matt Rudy about this. Because we went to threesomes, right? Because the weather mm-hmm. forced the tournament to move up, and I'm anxious to see the official ratings, because, Trent, as you said, the first two people that I spoke to when I walked in the building here today, first was Scott Knock, as my cubicle's right across from him,
mm-hmm.
and second, you're the second person I saw. You both said you both in church yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it was, you know, the typical Sunday morning, right? People didn't miss their service just because the Masters had been moved up. So clearly the event would have built throughout the day. But look, he teed off at 8:20 Central Time yesterday morning. There's a lot of people that didn't get to this, I don't know.
11 o'clock, that's...
Amen Corner?
Yeah, that's... I saw the last eight holes.
No pun intended?
Of those guys. Last eight holes is when I was locked in and ready to go, and... Yeah, can't be alone in that one. And then you couple that with West Coast. I mean, you're talking 6:20 in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you're a huge golf fan, a sports fan, yeah, you can get up for that. But in normal, you're part of your routine is not getting up at 6:20 to watch golf.
Right. Now, selfishly, I loved it because that is my, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons I love the British Open. I like mm-hmm. it for other reasons, but just the fact that golf is going to be settled on Sunday morning, you don't have to, you know, it's not 6:30 or whatever. Not that, you know, you're going out of your way. You're going to watch it at any time. At least I am. But for me, selfishly, that's my preference. But look, when Koepka missed his birdie putt on 17 and likewise on 18, it just seemed then. I mean, we watched Tiger make a just remarkable tee shot on 16. Thought for a minute it might go in. It was just a little bit too much speed. Goes by a couple of feet. He was going to make birdie and go two up. And then when Koepka on 17 had a birdie opportunity and ran it by, and then likewise on 18, he was knew that, you know, as he was about to hit his second shot, that bogey's good enough.
You know, a year ago during those tournaments when he was making his run at the PGA and the British, it felt like it was more everyone trying to will him there.
Mm-hmm.
That you still had those lingering doubts. And there was something about watching him hit those tee shots where we've seen the driver go awry.
Get away from him, yeah.
And he is just up there, and he is swinging it.
Yeah.
He is spinning that thing as it hits the club, he's spinning that thing right back.
Right.
And he's confident. He's pulling
he's
the tee out of the ground.
He's getting the tee, yep.
And that confidence, that level, it felt different even than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the shot on 16. The drive before that on 15 where he's going to get there in two.
Yeah.
He's going to get there in two, and he's got two putts for birdie. And that's where I felt Tiger Woods is winning this golf tournament.
Yeah.
This, he is going to win this
thing. Well, and when Finau and Molinari had already, you know, had their, look, for a while, I didn't think Molinari was going to miss. I thought he was playing like a robot. I mean, this guy was par save after par save, and we're not talking about tap-ins. We're talking about 8-10 feet. Yes. Started on one. And it didn't look as though he was going to give this thing up. It was great theater. It really was. And here's what else strikes me about this.
I'm thankful for that pine cone on 15, by the way.
Which one on 15?
Molinari hit underneath
yes,
the tree.
Yes.
Landed in the middle
right,
of the water.
Right.
Not one that landed across and then rolled back in like we saw back in the par 3
mm-hmm.
12.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was just pine cone, plop.
Caught him.
At 7, doesn't look like the rest of Molinari's.
He's not coming back to the pack, Trent. That's what I thought, too. I mean, Tiger's going to play well, but this guy just doesn't make mistakes. He is so locked in, and he's just going to do what he has to do. And his putter's good enough that he's going to be able to make up if indeed he needs it. And he was doing it for all the first nine, but second nine, different story. Here's what sticks with me. His peers, Tiger's peers.
Yeah.
I'm talking just the joy that they were able to share in. That, look, they know, for the young guys on the tour, what Tiger did for the game of golf back in the, you know, since he was, became Tiger Woods in the late 90s and into the, you know, prior to his indiscretion that culminated on Thanksgiving Eve, right, when he backed into the tree. And this, just his peers, the joy that they shared in watching the, I don't know if he's the greatest to ever play the game. Jack says he is. Now, I don't know if that's Jack Nicklaus being humble
mm-hmm.
or he truly believes that. But the guy that everybody perceived to be the greatest to ever play the game up until Tiger came along says, no, it's not me. It's this guy, right? It's like I'll never forget the line that you know somebody asked Eric Clapton what it's like to be the greatest guitar player in the world. He said, I don't know. You're going to have to ask Prince.
Yeah.
Great line. I mean, Eric Clapton was the greatest guitar player. I don't know. You're going to have to ask Prince. But for Jack to say that, you know, I don't know. I mean, why do we have to rate, right? We just saw an incredible theater. Saturday's ratings off the charts. Sunday's not going to be like, I don't believe they're going to be as big as we thought that they would be. I mean, how
timing.
Could you miss that? It's timing. 100% time. You said it. West Coast. Huge obstacle to overcome. Church. Likewise.
Palm Sunday. Pretty big day.
Yes. Great point.
And people just, your Sundays are kind of planned out. Mm-hmm. I live in a routine. I'm not as married to the routine as you are.
Right.
But we have a routine. And every Sunday we get up and we go to church and then we go to Hy-Vee and Costco and we get our groceries and make our grocery list and then do some yard work. And then usually 3-4 o'clock I can get in there.
Yeah.
And
it's like
to get
the U.S.
to the
Open, Trent. We'd like the U.S. Open, the final round. You know, dinner watching the U.S. Open with family on Father's Day, right? Can you imagine if it was, you know, moved up like it was? But I don't even know. Did it even rain? I mean, I know that the Braves Mets were delayed.
It did rain. It
spit, but I mean, did it rain after the tournament ended? Because after.
Oh, I got you.
After they went to the replay, mm-hmm. I didn't go to the Golf Channel for the Green Jacket. I watched it in the Butler Cabin, and then they replayed it at 2 o'clock when the coverage was scheduled to come on. And I went to the NBA at that point, so I don't know if it was raining, but it was the ceremony was held outside. I don't know if did it ever rain hard enough that they would have had to leave the course.
It's a good question. That'll be a Matt Rudy question too.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah,
yeah, to see what the weather turned out to be, but in the end, right decision.
Yes, I think so too.
Though it's easy for you mm-hmm. and I to here on Monday if we're watching golf right now. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not like
no,
majority
you have to get
of
it in. No, you have to get it in, and they did get it in. How big of a factor was it that when they went to threesomes? Because Tiger, I don't think he wouldn't have been in the final group, right? If it was just two, I don't think he would have been. It would have been Molinari and Finau. And Tiger would have been the next to last group. What a big a factor that would have been.
You know, I thought of that at one point as it didn't look like, as you mentioned, Molinari was going to flinch.
No.
That he was so locked in. And I had that thought. If it was just those two, would it be different? Now, he stared him down a year ago at the British.
Yeah.
And was able to get the victory there. But I did have that feeling at one point. How different is it? And I think it was at a point I saw Molinari and Finau kind of going talking to each other a little bit. You don't have that. you versus Tiger. Mm-hmm. He was locked in.
And how many times over the past 20 years have we seen you versus Tiger? It doesn't go very well for you.
So another thing that people wondering now about the future and what this can go into. So his average margin of victory in his 14 previous major victories was 3.8, nearly four shots. He won those. Now there's a couple blowouts and they're the U.S. Open where he just
and the Masters
just throttled the field. And I know that stretches it out, but he does have some shots to play with here. If you kind of take that all encompassing, what's the number now? How many more does he get? We finally broke this 11-year streak.
Nicholas said before this tournament started, he believes that if he can stay healthy, Tiger's got 40 majors left, meaning 10 years of competitive golf. He's 43. He's a December baby, so he's going to be he won't turn in golf season. He gets through golf season at the same age. So that's what Nicholas thought. He has 40 majors left. So now he has 39, and he's within three. The way he's playing, look at the game of golf has so many guys. There are so many different winners on. I don't think there's a dominant player in the game. Like, there really isn't. I mean, we see Rory have his moments.
Dustin Johnson can be really good.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka is unbelievable.
Xander Schauffele is that new kind
he's
of guy.
He's coming, isn't he? He's, what, 24, 25?
Yeah, and he's not a long hitter.
Nope.
You saw that actually struggle with that, but because of equipment, guys like that in the past that couldn't compete.
And the
Masters, saw Corey Pavin once.
We did.
But that was it.
Right.
Now Corey Pavin in today's environment with technology, you figure his career's a little bit better.
Do you remember what kind of clubs Corey Pavin played? Because I thought, I've never heard of this before.
McGregor's?
Nope. That's a good one. That's a name from the past, too. Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. I got Cleveland.
Do you?
Yes.
Cleveland. What else does Cleveland make in sporting gear?
That's it. Golf.
It's golf, right?
Yeah. Cleveland
not like
wedges.
Spalding or it's Cleveland.
Cleveland. Wilson.
Wilson. That's a
Wilson
big name.
Irons.
Yeah. Anyways, we digress. So just tremendous theater.
2.5. Put the over under there. Is that a good number?
So you don't think he gets there, or do you think he gets? By the way, over under. You have got to watch that show Action on Showtime that ended last night. If you love to sit and race in sports books when you're in Vegas and just watch the people and gamble a little bit. Oh, the characters in it. It ended last night. It is so good.
You had a big day.
Oh, I had a wonderful day.
You had golf. You had your Jets finally winning a game in the playoffs.
Can you say that again? They did?
You had Action. What's the show
game
called?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Your
Billions.
Your dragon porn.
Yeah, boy, it was good.
What a peep. I don't.
Oh, Trent is so good. It's such a good show. I never thought I would, too. I hate science fiction.
I was so close to finally, all right, I got to start watching this. Because the build-up here the last month.
You can't start today.
I could have caught up, I'm sure.
No, you could have.
If I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. Like, it's dragons.
Yeah. Trent, it's so non-me. I'm the only person in America, I think, that didn't click on the new Star Wars trailer this weekend.
I'm with you.
Oh, those sorts of you and I. Yeah. I've never seen 1 minute of any of the Star Wars, ever.
Well, you got me
I
beat
don't
there.
Care.
Because I watched the original three did when you? I was little, and then I grew up.
Yeah, no, I'm...
And it just...
Spaceships? Flying saucers? Yeah. No, that's not... You know, why would... Dragons? Okay, I'm in.
I guess.
It's so non-me anyways. All right, what else from sports over the weekend? A couple of baseball stories. Cubs were rained out yesterday. They split their series. Not rained out. They were snowed out yesterday.
Right.
Split their series with the Angels. Kyle Hendricks is now 0-3. Just when you think, you're starting to maybe see this thing come together a little bit. And who knows? It still may. The Brewers seem to be coming back to the pack a little bit. Mm-hmm. Cardinals got well this weekend in Mexico. I didn't watch one pitch of the Cardinals this weekend. I guess Ozuna's alive, right?
Yeah, he had a couple of homers yesterday. He looked really good. I flipped over Saturday, I think it was, that I saw maybe an inning or two as I was flipping around. Watched quite a bit of the Brewers and Dodgers Friday night. Watched a lot of that as I was flipping back
and
forth.
Wasn't that part of our
classes? It was, yes. That was part of it. 3 out of 4 missed with your Jets, by the way.
3 out of 4 missed with the Jets. They took the Jets? Sorry about that.
What else did we have? Twins took a couple of games. Yep. How about the Royals?
Royals sweeping the Indians.
Thank you,
good
Royals.
Good for them.
I was very happy to see that.
No, it's there's some storylines.
NBA, I watched a little NBA.
I did too. And, you know, starting to get into a little bit. Mm-hmm. Watched a lot of hockey. A couple of really good storylines in hockey. One of them is downtown Des Moines. Let's spend a minute here as they finally get into the playoffs for the first time in franchise history. That's great. We like a lot of people down there. Joe O'Donnell, I'm assuming, will join us maybe tomorrow. At some point during the week, is they play now Sunday. That's a long break.
I thought the exact same thing.
I don't get it. Maybe it's a arena availability. I mean, I'm not saying that's the case. And I don't know what Chris Connolly's got booked at Wells Fargo, but seemingly for the playoffs not to start for a week. When did they end? Saturday night. Place was packed. I know they had a post game concert, which probably went some way towards it. But man. Watching some of the highlights, and seemingly all the television stations were down there. Good crowd, great crowd.
Well, and another great part about this is the way that it's set up is, we talked about this on Friday, possibility not only just to get in and get that four seed, but move your way up to the three. That's what happened. So instead of having to face the behemoth that is Chicago in the division, they get Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested, and I found this out Friday. We were talking with Joe. You open up at home. You get those first two games at home, and then finish up games 3, 4, and 5 on the road.
So the higher seed hosts the final three.
Yes.
Right. That's what I thought.
I have never been a proponent of that. It's another reason I don't like the 2-3-2 format that some sports institute. Mm-hmm. I believe if you have home court, home field, home ice, whatever, home advantage, you should never trail in a series. If it goes according to plan, then you should never, quote-unquote, trail. If home court stays, home ice stays,
yeah, you should get the extra game.
You should not have to be behind in a series. 2-3-2, you win your first two at home, lose those middle three, and then you're facing two straight elimination games.
Getcha.
I don't like that. And if I was a Milwaukee fan, love my Admirals, I probably wouldn't be real pleased about this either. It's the way the format is.
Well, they cut down the travel to save a little money in the AHL.
That's the part of it that makes sense. And being this as a minor league, it makes more sense.
It's nothing
to get all rankled about. You're right. The cost is a very important component.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, good for them. We've got the game. We, KXNO, has the game. If you can't be there, it's a 4 o'clock puck drop on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Didn't get dealt the best hand as far as hosting game number one. Would have been great if Saturday night, but didn't work out that way. So Wild are in the playoffs. Get out and support the team. So are the Des Moines Buccaneers, by the way.
Right.
And as I've said for many, many, many years, the Buccaneer hockey and the product that that they put forward in the United States Hockey League, the USHL. I mean, folks, you get to the NHL from the USHL. You absolutely do. Every time you watch you don't watch the drafts. I get it. I watch the draft. But if you were ever to dig in and look at a first round or a second round of the draft, you see a bunch of guys get plucked by their perspective, by their NHL team, straight out of the USHL. Bucks and the Wild, the two local hockey postseason bound. We'll take a timeout. We've got to do the golf for the green. Do you want to do that now?
Yes, you do. Let's do it.
It's time to go for the green with KXNO and EKG Golf. Text the keyword SUPER to 200-200 right now to win $1,000 cash. That's SUPER to 200-200. Standard message and data rate supply. Sean Devaney covers the NBA, national columnist for SportingNews.com. Sean will join us next in the 11 o'clock hour. Matt Rudy is here for Golf Digest. So is Scott Dockerman. I want to get into the Barry Alvarez piece that's going to be published at The Athletic, as Barry Alvarez was interviewed and said some very fascinating things pursuant to the college football playoff and a window, perhaps, Trent, that's open to expand. I didn't know this. There is one narrow window that expansion can be brought up and
after
perhaps implemented.
Year?
Yes.
After this year.
And then it shuts until the contracts expire. Now, as Barry Alvarez points out, we're not pleased that the Big Ten has not participated in this.
You knew this was going to come to fruition, yes.
Trent?
5 major conferences, only 4 spots.
Absolutely. And the Pac-12 doesn't deserve one.
The SEC deserves a couple, usually.
They get 2 of them. And the Big Ten's not pleased. Maybe this is going to be the impetus for expansion. So we'll get into that a little bit with Doc. Also some Hawkeye news. Dylan Mons from Iowa State. Our covers Iowa State for the Ames Tribune. They got a good recruit. Did you see that? This kid's got some offers.
Yeah, big offensive lineman from down in Kansas. Had some certainly regional
big
names.
Well put. Regional Power 5 offers, but We're some big name schools on those lists, and he's committed. So we'll do that with Dylan Montz as Iowa and Iowa State wrap up spring football. We're Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 1460.
Twenty-four-hour sports anywhere in the world on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
Back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, with you here until noon. Busy 11 o'clock hour. Matt Rudy, Golf Digest, Scott Dockerman from The Athletic, and Dylan Montz, AmesTrib.com. Pittsburgh, if you're a Steelers fan and you haven't pulled the trigger on The Athletic, Ed Bousset, is that how you say his name? You've read him a million times.
Yeah, I know the name. I don't know how
long
to pronounce
time.
The
name. He is the... He's as big of a media personality in Pittsburgh, I think, as there is. He just left his paper to join The Athletic. How about that? So if you're a Steelers fan and you have yet to invest your $3.99, it's the future of sports writing. It's not just... It's every team, folks. Every team. You're going to love it. We're going to talk some NBA here. Sean Devaney, Sporting News, momentarily. Look forward to doing that as we take you up until noon. Let's get Sean in here. NBA is underway, and Sean joins us. Sean, along with Trent Connan, this is Ken Miller. Thanks for coming on, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing well, Ken. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. You know, I'm not sure you saw the piece. You've been, I'm sure, in Oracle Arena dozens of times. I've never been there. You know, watching the piece on CBS last night on 60 Minutes, it's just one of those stories, right? I feel bad for their fans that they're going across the bridge and leaving Oakland behind for San Francisco, which looks as though the arena is going to be spectacular. But it's going to be different, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I was talking about that. I was there a couple weeks ago and talking with Steve Kerr about it. And, he was there when they closed down the old Chicago Stadium, and opened the new United Center, I believe that was 94. And he had played for the Bulls in the stadium and then played for them the following year when they opened the United Center. And it just wasn't the same. And he pointed that out, and it is kind of a concern for them that what they get at Oracle, the passion of those fans, the way they sort of suffered through really just some terrible, terrible basketball, but still showed up and were still loud and were still into the game and still knew the game, knew the team. That's a tough thing to replicate. You go across the bay and yes, you're going to make more money. Yes, it's a beautiful building and really what they've done with that whole space is really remarkable. But you're going to miss something in Oakland that's just not going to be there when you talk about the price of tickets and the kind of people that are going to be there, rather than the hardcore Warriors fans who supported them, when they were 22 and 60.
Well, with that, of course, as we begin the NBA playoffs, and really the NBA conversation for us really kind of starts now here in this market. Sean, it's the Warriors and everybody else, it feels like, yet throughout this season, you had the back and forth with Draymond and KD that happened, the looming free agency that is out there. How would this go awry in your mind? And how likely is it to happen that the Warriors ultimately aren't your NBA champion?
Well, I think you'd have to have two things happen. First of all, you'd have to have there would have to be, as you mentioned, some of that dissension that cropped up throughout the season. Certainly Kevin Durant has just been, let's say a grouch. He's been a bit of a grouch throughout the year. He took it out on the media. He took it out on Draymond Green. He's taken some pot shots at his coach during the season. He just has seemed very unhappy there. And if that somehow seeps into the into the playoffs, and obviously we didn't see it in game one, but if that kind of thing seeps into the playoffs, then that could set them up. That could sort of fatten them up for a takedown. But then you say, okay, well, who can do it? What team is out there that could actually match up and beat the Warriors? And there just really isn't one. Houston probably has the best chance. They would meet potentially in a second round matchup. But you'd have to say that even Houston's chance is slim. So, You know, I think the way it looks right now is, yeah, it's the Warriors and everybody else, and it's just hard to see who's going to be that team that can possibly take them down.
I want to go to the East. We've got somewhat of a local connection here in Nick Nurse, who grew up in Iowa, played at UNI, coached in, you know, downtown Des Moines, and when it was the D-League, brought the first championship to that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But the Raptors, yet again, can't get past game one. How big of an upset was the Raptors losing to the Magic? They certainly had their chances. And what are the chances Kawhi Leonard is still getting, calling Canada home, when the season comes to an end? So how about the Raptors start and end Kawhi Leonard and his chances?
Yeah, they're all tied together, because when you look at the way things have happened in Toronto this year and going back to last year when they won 59 games and they were all amped up for the playoffs. This is going to be finally the year they're going to get past LeBron. They got swept by LeBron in the second round, and they make all the changes. They bring in Kawhi Leonard. Now, the thing about bringing in Kawhi Leonard is you're bringing in a free agent who doesn't necessarily want to be in Toronto. So they've got a lot to prove because, A, they have to prove that what happened last year, they can get past that. Their repeated playoff flops, the reason they brought Nick Nurse in, that they can get past that. That's a lot of pressure. And then you add the pressure that if they don't, if they were to lose in the first round, you're probably going to see Kawhi Leonard leave. They have to at least get to the conference finals to make Kawhi Leonard think, okay, this is a place where I can win and maybe I'll want to come back here. Certainly if they get to the NBA finals, that might be something that sticks with them. So, it's kind of tied together because that pressure is there. And it's added because of the situation with Kawhi Leonard. The players will say they don't think about that, but that's not true. I mean, come on, of course they're thinking about that. There's a lot of pressure on in Toronto. And really, Orlando was fantastic in mm-hmm. that game one. Toronto's got to have a response here.
John Devaney joining us from the Sporting News as we're talking NBA playoffs on Miller and Condon, KXNO. A couple other upsets on the Saturday games. Who are you more concerned with? The 76ers after their loss to Brooklyn in Game 1, or the Nuggets dropping against San Antonio?
I'd be concerned with both, really. Obviously the Nuggets losing one on their home floor. They were the best team at home during the regular season. They were 34-7 and just 20-21 on the road. So, they're going to have to win a game in San Antonio against a team that has a lot more playoff experience and against a coach and Greg Popovich who really drew up a fantastic game plan in game one. So I would certainly be worried about the Nuggets. But I think that, the thing about Denver is they could lose this year, and they've got such a good young core, so they'll be back. Philadelphia, what concerns me about them is Jimmy Butler's a free agent, Tobias Harris is a free agent, and J.J. Redick is a free agent. So you got three-fifths of your starting lineup is they're free agents. If this goes down, if they were to lose to the Nets, and certainly the way things unfolded in game one with Joel Embiid not looking great with the mm-hmm. With the backcourt of the Sixers really exposed by the really talented backcourt, both in the starting lineup and on the bench that the Nets have, then you could be looking at a situation where things really do implode in Philadelphia and it leaks into the offseason. Denver will be okay in terms of their future. Philadelphia, if they lose this series, man, that would really shake up where that franchise is headed.
Mm. After the Masters concluded yesterday, locked in on the Thunder and the Trailblazers, I love the Cantor story. I mean, just what he's going through. He's, at odds with his country. And Lillard, maybe one of the better basketball NBA players in the – because you don't see a lot of West Coast stuff, right? And, oh, by the way, they've got that other Curry kid. But this Portland team is fun to watch. Boy, Cantor really put one to his former team yesterday.
Yeah, and I was certainly among those who looked at what Portland had done since losing Jusuf Nurkić, and Nurkić, what they did was around December or so, Coach Terry Stotts really changed their whole offense and tried to get the ball out of Lillard's hands, out of CJ McCollum's hands, because there was too much pressure on those two guys. Especially you get to the playoffs, you want to have some other options, and so he was running things through their center, Jusuf Nurkić, much more often. Nurkić gets hurt, breaks his leg, terrible, terrible injury at the end of March, And I was pretty much writing off Portland's chances at that point. You know, it just didn't seem like, you know, because they had put so much into restructuring the offense around Nurkic, it looked like this was going to be something that that they weren't going to be able to recover from. They were swept from the playoffs by the Pelicans last year, and it looked like that might be their fate this year coming into the playoffs. But certainly what we saw Sunday afternoon, you know, the depth isn't there. They still have a lot of the same problems that they've had. But, you know, you get 54 points from Lillard and McCollum, and then you have the game that that Cantor had with the 18 rebounds. And, you know, they can certainly withstand Oklahoma City if they get that kind of production from those guys. It's going to be difficult because, like I say, they are very guard focused, and if the Thunder find ways to take those guys out of the offense a little bit more, that could be trouble for Portland. But certainly, that was a great performance, and made me rethink, at least, you know, having left Portland for dead.
Yeah, Paul George, he's not going to shoot as poorly as he did, although he ended up leading his team in scoring yesterday. My last thing, kind of a way with that series, but kind of you know, following the game, Russell Westbrook and Barry Trammell, do they have a history there? I was really surprised by the way. I mean, Westbrook wanted nothing to do with his next question.
And he's been doing that for a couple of years, and it's gotten to a point where it's kind of silly. And you know, Barry Trammell, you know, he does his job, and his job is to go in and ask questions, and he doesn't ask especially tough questions. He doesn't ask questions that the rest of us wouldn't ask. It's just it's somewhere along the line, you know, there were some things that Russell Westbrook didn't like. And he started taking this position on anything that Barry Trammell asked, and it's silly. It's really petty. It's one of the things that, you know, and I like Russell Westbrook's game. It's one of the things off the floor that you just don't like about him. I mean, there's no reason that as adults and professionals you can't work something like that out. But Westbrook has shown no interest in doing that.
John, we'll get you out here on this. Is LeBron playing for the first time? In a long time. Not in the playoffs. How big of an impact is this going to make for the NBA as a whole, not having LeBron there?
I think there's no question it will. You know, that there's a segment of fans who, you know, are sports fans but not huge NBA fans. And the NBA playoffs are on, and, hey, do you want to watch the NBA? Okay, what time does LeBron play? You know, so and you're not going to, well, he's not playing, so, okay, I'm not watching. So, you know, I think you're going to get some of that, and I think the NBA has certainly tried to combat that, but you just can't. I mean, you know, this is a guy who's been in the finals, you know, what, 8 years in a row? Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to, you know, when he's become the icon that he's become, and the NBA, of course, markets to individuals as much as they do. When one of those individuals isn't in your biggest moment, you know, isn't in the tournament, then it becomes tough to sell. So, you know, the NBA is certainly putting the best face on it they can. I'm sure there will be some pretty well-rated series, but in general, I think the broadcasters are going to take a hit here.
Sean, age limit in the NBA going away next year or the year after, do you think? One and done?
I would say the year after.
Okay.
You know, this is something that it's got to be collectively bargained.
Okay.
You know, so the union has to be involved. The NBA can come up with an idea, but they want to get their ducks in a row. They don't want to do it something where the NBA sort of imposes this on the union and on the NCAA. That they want to try to get this right and keep this problem solved once and for all.
Sean Devaney, Sporting News, NBA, sportingnews.com. Sean, thank you. We appreciate you coming on here in Des Moines. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Sean Devaney, sportingnews.com, NBA writer. Good stuff there, Trent Conn. Great question on LeBron. Excellent.
I feel it.
The lack of LeBron. Yeah. By the way, the Masters numbers are out.
Mm-hmm.
Crushed. Not good. Down 11% from last year. Patrick Reed moved the needle.
He was unlikable.
He was.
But that was a good leaderboard, too.
It was a good leaderboard, and it was in the afternoon. It was, you know, where we're used to seeing the Masters. You're home from church. You know, that was obviously a major, major, major factor.
Excited to talk with Matt Rudy.
Yeah, me too. We'll do that in a half an hour. We'll come back. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.org.
See you there.
Keep up with KXNO on Twitter and Facebook. Go to KXNO.com to learn more. From 1460 KXNO.
right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. A lot of NFL news, rumors swirling, but it is that time of year as we inch our way closer to the draft, which is next Thursday. We will, you know, we'll probably get Frank Schwab in here tomorrow to try and filter our way through some of the stuff that's being put out there. What seemed like a foregone conclusion that Kyler Murray was indeed going to go number one overall to Arizona. A lot of people tapping the brakes on that, but you can't believe everything you hear, anything you hear.
At this point, right. Yes. Anything that you hear, use a tilted ear. Make sure what you're hearing doesn't make sense. Is it reality? Or is it just that, a smokescreen to try to throw people off the scent or to help them if they're looking to make a move, whatever it may be?
Well, would they have moved Josh Rosen by now if indeed they were? Or is the... Look, here's the... Somebody pointed this out last week, and it's right on the money. The last thing the NFL wants is to know the outcome in advance of Thursday night.
Absolutely.
If Josh Rosen is traded today, Kyler Murray is number one overall pick and he's going to Arizona. You don't make that move if you're not going to draft him. So the NBA wants some, the NFL wants some intrigue, some drama, some things that you have to tune in to see. So maybe, I don't know if they can they put an embargo on this? I mean, you can't go public with it, obviously.
Right.
But could you tell the Cardinals, look, we really need to, we need a solid here from you.
We need you to hold back just a little bit. Well, I believe, now maybe this was the old bargaining agreement, but I remember within the last 10 years, certainly, maybe the last five, that if you had the number one pick,
you could have, you sign a contract in advance of that. Yes.
You could start the negotiation process.
I still think you can.
Okay.
I think you can.
Now, things are a lot more locked up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go back, still one of the funniest stats is, I think it's still going currently, Sam Bradford is the highest played player in NFL history.
Right. And he was from the moment he walked into the league.
Because of the salary structure, the way that it is. And now that things are slotted.
I think he was... Did that window close after his draft year? It was right around that point. Right. And it's the right thing to do. So... lots going on. We may get the schedule tomorrow, Trent. We may get the schedule. We're going to get it at some point this week. I hope it happens either today or tomorrow so I can opine on Wednesday as I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. And you know how much I love it.
Yes,
when the schedule comes out. But it's going to happen at some point this week. We will. Look, we know who's playing who. And whether they're home or on the road, but we don't know when. And it, I think it's a,
that matters.
It does matter. Absolutely.
And if you get one of those crazy three in a row on the road, or you're playing quick turnaround to a Thursday game,
night after you travel.
Yes. Those things are all important.
Who's playing on Thanksgiving Day? What happens around Christmas? Are they going to play some Saturday games in December after the Army-Navy game?
There is word that there's going to be a triple header on Saturday the 21st. Of course, you'll have
so
the
we've seen
of games
two games, yes. But never three, I don't think, have we?
They're all on the NFL Network. That is the talk. Maybe also ran on the network, whoever has the rights to those games. So yeah, a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot.
So a noon 3:37 or something around
something
there.
Something along those lines.
I'm all for it.
Just a Saturday.
College football's over at that point.
College basketball's starting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But by then, all the tournaments are over. It's kind of, you know, hyphenated schools. Aren't we back to that point late December before Christmas?
Yeah. For the most part, yeah.
Right.
There might be a couple games. I think, don't Louisville, Kentucky usually play that weekend?
Or sometime, they either play right before or right after Christmas. I think the last couple of years it's been right after Christmas. Yeah, that's a big series, no doubt about that. All right, Matt Rudy's coming up at 11:15. We will go on State, get ready to call it a spring, and then we wait. Yes. Magazines in May. The first one's usually what, Athlon usually comes
out? Yep, you get Athlon early.
Early.
Yep, that's right.
And then Phil Steele late June. Sometime in around Memorial Day, some of the kick times will start to trickle out a little bit. We'll start maybe to know some of the... when will we know the Cy-Hawk game?
Oh, what is it?
It's in Ames, and there's a lot of speculation that the streak is going to end regarding College Game Day on that particular day.
You look at the national schedule that day, and if you normally look at that and say, come on, They're not coming for Iowa.
But it's conducive that day to it happening. You know what? Why don't we take a look at that schedule? We'll try and find two or three of the big games that could potentially butt up against and perhaps continue the long drought of game day making. But wouldn't that be something for our state's game to have College Game Day in, well, this year it's in Ames, but even if it was in Iowa City, having College Game Day for that would be spectacular. We'll come back. 11 o'clock hour next. Matt Rudy, Scott Dockerman, Dylan Montz, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.